Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
The life he offers is full. It is free, and it is spiritually satisfying. Yet, please listen to this right now. It begins now if you let it. If you're always wanting to have what other people have, or you're covetous about other stuff like that, you're not going to understand it. It comes now if you will let it.
A lot of people think about heaven. Usually it's when someone has died and they hope they'll be in a better place. Today, Pastor Jim explains that Jesus came to bring abundant life, and it extends to eternity, yes, but it also starts during this earthly life. Jesus wants to extend his presence to you right now. You can have a full and meaningful life with God if you'll look to him first and then allow other things to fall back into lesser places. Don't focus on what you're giving up, but on what you're getting. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message, The Abundant Life.
God is knowing that there will be times when we will feel like Jesus said it from the cross, right? There will be times when you're feeling that you're forsaken by God. And then you go to the next chapter and maybe you won't then. So listen to what he says, Psalm 23, 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now that last line is pretty interesting, right? And just picture a shepherd with a staff and you're one of the sheep and he's whacking you, right? He's whacking you to get back in the line. What does David say? When you whack me, Lord, you're actually protecting me from myself. Isn't that an amazing thing? Yes. That he would say, it might hurt at the time, but yet I know that when you discipline me, it's for my good. Jesus' famous words, John 14, 6, he's speaking to Thomas. What do we call that guy? Doubting Thomas. I don't call him that, by the way. Maybe I'll try to convert you to what I call him. I call him Good Question Thomas. You know that kid in school who, when the teacher says, everybody understand, and all the kids like you go, yes, yes. And the teacher turns around and the kids look at each other like, no, no, no. But there's always that one kid who raises his hand and goes, teacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Love that kid. Love that kid. So Thomas would ask the questions they were all thinking. John 14, 6, at the Last Supper, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So true life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called what we call a triad. Very common in the Bible. I want you to look for them as you're reading your Bible. The way, the truth, and the life. A lot of times things are listed in threes. Some people say it's a reference to the Holy Trinity, but I don't know. Okay, now we come to the beginning of verse 10. The thief. Now let's notice something here. Previously, when we're talking about the thief, okay, it was thieves. Now this is singular. The thief does not come except to or only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, that was a triad. Some translate it just, he comes to slaughter and destroy. Now, in verse 8, Jesus said, true followers refuse to listen. But many people who are Christians or claim to be Christians do listen to these false teachers. And so this we have to be very, very careful of. The context, again, is the dispute with the religious leaders. He's been in a dispute with them. Maybe we would say in our context, we might say the false teachers that surround us. And I can tell you this, if you look at the Christian bestseller list, a lot of those books are not very good. So we have to be very, very careful, but they sell. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you look at them, many of them preach and teach to our fallen natures, not to get us to repent or to turn from our sin, but to get us to chase the wrong things and to buy their next book and to buy whatever it is that they're selling. See, many of those people, they promise prosperity. They promise that you will always be happy. They promise there will be, you'll always be healthy. Now, let me be perfectly honest with you. There is nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There is nothing wrong with being happy. There's nothing wrong with being healthy, unless that becomes your God. And you know how easily that can happen? Do you know how easily that can happen? That can become your God? Now, some of you are not going to like what I'm about to say here. It's not my first time. I'm going to be a little insulting. But most people I know can't handle the responsibility of being wealthy. They can't. And many of them, when they do get wealthy, what do? They leave the faith. They do. They can't handle it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Let's just stop there for 1 second before the next verse. We always say that you've never seen a hearse carrying a moving vehicle or something like that, right? You don't see tractor trailers following them and stuff like that. Then he writes verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now here's the pushback from a lot of people. Well, I'm not wealthy. I get it, okay. But I will tell you this. Why don't you take the next couple months, or maybe you could go back and look at your checkbook or your online, whatever, however you keep track of your finances, and look where your money goes. And you will learn a lot about yourself, a lot, about what's really important to you. Now, sadly, the whole false teaching idea works really well for people who, let's call them down and out. They're not doing well. So if you have enough faith, then you can get all this stuff that you want. And here's where they got you coming and going, because if you don't get it, you didn't have enough faith. What a bunch of baloney. There's a lot of people who just can't catch a break. And that's part of life, actually. People who struggle with self-esteem or people who feel like they're failures in life, they want a positive message. Okay, they love a positive message, but if you talk with most of them, a lot of it doesn't change. Not much changes. Now, once again, a happy life, nothing wrong with a happy life. Nothing wrong with that, please. But a happy life is a powerful desire, and it can end up being a God. You can end up wanting it more than you want God himself. And then when people don't get what they want or things get worse, what a lot of them do? They fall away from the faith. Where do they go? I tried that whole religion thing. It didn't work for me. But you realize, and that's where, listen, you got to be kind to people and say, what didn't work? What didn't work? And you'll realize that a lot of the people were lied to and told that if you had enough faith, you would get all of these things. I always like to joke and say, I had just one guy say one time, he goes, well, you'll go to your mailbox and there'll be a check for $10,000. So what do you do with that check? You bring it across the street to your neighbor because it's his, right? Right? I mean, really, that stuff just doesn't work. How do you get rich? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but most of it is hard work and investments and stuff like that. Now, you say, well, come on, Pastor Jim, where do you get some Bible reference for this? Well, the Bible's clear. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's weird, isn't it? Some versions say, when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Some versions say endurance. I love that. Endurance or perseverance. Sometimes I wonder, and this is just maybe me, my own head, but if we really see life through God's eyes at all. I mean, we want life to be so easy, don't we? Well, look at the lives of Jesus and the apostles. They killed Jesus. And then we know that, as far as we know, all the apostles but one were killed for their faith. Does that sound like an easy life? No, no. Life is full of heartache. Did you hear what I just said? Life is full of heartache. Now, there's a theological answer for that, which I'm not going to give you, but and there's a practical answer to that, which we try to help people through, okay? And the big decisions of life have serious consequences. Do you ever make a big decision and you're like, oh, I should have picked the other thing? That happens all the time. Life is not easy. But what did Jesus say? I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Bible teaches there are spiritual forces seeking to destroy us. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, your eternal destiny is in danger. And you may not think that's true, but it is. We're about to talk about this guy that I can't stand. I can't stand him. I used to work for him. Probably some of you did too. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Some versions say alert or watchful, because your adversary, the devil, or if I want to be on TV, I'll call him the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom or anyone or someone he may devour. How many of you used to work for that guy? Ooh, more of you, getting more honest as this sermon goes on. Okay, we used to work for that guy. He pays dreadful wages. He's a liar. He's a thief. He lies to you like crazy. I hate to even talk about him. People talk about him all the time. He's not in the Bible very much. So if we have a verse that he's in there, we'll talk about him. And over the years, I've watched his tactics. And while I hate to talk about him, his tactics just adapt to the times and the places. He's very good at that. I got to give him credit for that. And I don't know about you, but these days, society really saddens me. I mean, you watch the news and nobody can find anything good. It's this side, we hate what they do. This side, we hate what they do. And they can't come to agreement on anything. And it seems to kill the goodness in so many people. There's a lot of good that goes on in this world. There's a lot, but you don't hear much about it. And sadly, I'm noticing over the years that followers of Jesus are becoming so negative. And they're not seeing what's good about the world. So if we're not careful, we can be like a lot of people. What a lot of people do, they reduce Jesus to a moral teacher. Yeah, he did. Did he teach morality? He did. But he is God become a man, the second person of the Trinity adding humanity. But people don't talk about that. He's just maybe a moral teacher. But and you say, that's kind of negative, Pastor Jim. Yes, I get it. It is. It is. Why? Because that other guy who we used to work for, some of you don't know what we're talking about, that other guy is trying to get our eyes off the abundant life any way he can. Any way he can. So now, the Apostle John, carried along by the Holy Spirit, quotes Jesus. Second half of verse 10. Jesus contrasts himself. After telling us that the other guy is a thief and a crook, the religious leaders he told us earlier were thieves and crooks, he says this, I have come that they, who's they? The sheep, right? The sheep, God's people, may have life, and that, we might say, after that, they may have it more abundantly. So after you become one of God's sheep, he's saying, I've come that you have life, that you have eternal life, but then that you have it more abundantly. Abundantly. While the thief comes to take life, Jesus comes to give life and protect the sheep for all eternity. Now, what Jesus is telling us, and this is very important to think about this, that the life he offers is full. It is free, and it is spiritually satisfying. Yet, please listen to this right now. It begins now if you let it. If it begins now if you let it. If you're always wanting to have what other people have, or you're covetous about other stuff like that, you're not going to understand it. It comes now if you will let it. It is the love of God in our hearts, the peace of God found in the Word of God and in God Himself. Now, this sounds like a new kind of existence. In other words, he's saying, I'm taking you out of the old life, I'm pulling you into a new life. It's going to be very different. It's not going to be exactly the same as life was before, but you can grow into this new life. The Apostle Paul describes it this way, a verse we come to a lot, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that can mean a lot of different things, including, let's just bring it into today, sins are forgiven, everything's different, but the way we live and the way we think about God. So he wants to say to us, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a new way to live and a new way to think about God. But let's understand what Jesus is not saying. Jesus doesn't promise a trouble-free life. Do we get that? He does not promise a trouble-free life. What does he promise? To be with us every step of the way. And so here's how we have to make a big difference in the way we define certain terms. And I'll just say this. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. I don't know about you. Did you ever get happy about something? And you're mad a minute later? Yeah. Right? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. But what he's talking about here is there is a joy to know that no matter what you are going through, God is with you. Doesn't mean maybe sometimes you complain about it, right? You're like, I don't get it. But Jesus is with you every step of the way. So for a follower of Jesus, if your life is more focused on something else, if you have something that all you care about, that will steal your joy in God. That doesn't mean your boss walks in and goes, you finished that work? No, I'm focusing on my joy in God, bro. Sorry. No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? But trying to be aware of the joy you can have in God because of what? His presence in your life. Even if your bank account is empty, the presence of Jesus in your life is a wonderful thing. So here's the distinction we need to make. It is not about what you have. It is about who you have. I want you to think about that for a second. It's not about what you have. Nothing wrong with stuff, okay? But it's about who you have, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? However, can we be honest about something? Any of us prone to wander? Yeah. In other words, what do? We seek our own pasture. Like Jesus is like, hey, come into my pasture. And you're like, I got this one, Jesus. I got mine over here. I got it. I'm good. Others are saying you got to give up stuff. It's a big thing now. You got to give up stuff. Well, maybe, but Jesus is saying, I provide to you life more abundantly. I provide to you a better life. So what is Jesus talking about? You know, I read so many people about this, and nobody really knows. Nobody really knows, because in some ways, it's experienced different by all of us. But it is clearly the presence of God. We might say we can overflow with contentment and satisfaction in Jesus. That might be a way of putting it simply for all of us. Essentially, the grace of God and the love of God toward us is unending and more than we will ever need. What is it? It is the blessings of this life. So it's in this life and of the life to come. And in the life to come, please understand this, it is a blessing far beyond our wildest dreams. We're not really told a lot about heaven. The Apostle Paul, when Isaiah went up to heaven, he's like, I'm a man of unclean lips. Personally, I think the Apostle Paul is the most brilliant writer of the Bible. The best writer, I think, is Isaiah. He's just so descriptive in the way he writes. And he goes, I'm a man of unclean lips. I hear him say that, I'm like, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. And so God is there. So this life is beyond our wildest dreams. We're not told a lot about heaven. The Apostle Paul went up to heaven and came back. He goes, I can't really describe it to you. We don't have words for it. And so once again, Jesus seems to be describing a new kind of existence, the part of being a new creation that gives life new meaning. But we're all sitting there going, well, how do we get it? Again, once again, it's a life that we're not just saved from, but we're saved to. It's a life to be lived in the here and the now. So let's look at the word abundant for a second. The word abundant actually means something that goes way beyond necessity. So what is Jesus saying? I want to give you something way better in this life than you could ever imagine even in this life. I want to give you something that you can really, really enjoy. I want to give you a superior life. That does not mean you won't have problems. This does not mean you won't have heartache. Does not mean that things are going to be difficult. He's not saying that. What is he saying? I want to give you my presence in your life so you can know that you are never alone. So you can know that I am always with you, even in the worst of times. Now you sit there and you go, well, how can that be? How can that be? Look what happened to him. They killed him on a cross. And he's saying, I can relate to any kind of pain. God the Father loses his son to the people that he sends his son to save. And God would say to you, I know what it's like to deal with such incredible pain and heartache. I get that. This is a life we cannot obtain by ourselves. No way. No way. It's far less about what you give up. Everybody's already, yeah, I got to give this up. I got to give this up. And I think that Jesus is saying, okay, maybe you got to give some stuff up. There's a lot of that stuff in the Bible, but really focus on what you're getting. You're getting my presence in your life. And focus on that. And then you won't want to do a lot of that other stuff. And then that life is experienced in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits, all other kinds of places. And here's the question a lot of people ask. How do I get it? How do I get it?
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.